The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever we sing that, I can always see a bunch of Russians. You know how they do that little kick dance when they're almost on the ground? Now, the next time we sing it, do you know what you all are going to be thinking? Not what you're supposed to be on the words. You're going to be thinking the little Russians kicking. You know, we all like it when things are going well. Things are running smoothly. I mean, really, has anybody ever driven down the road and your car's running just fine? And you went, man, I wish it would make some strange clunky noise. Maybe a clunk, clunk, thud. I mean, nobody ever wants that. We like smooth trips. We like things running smoothly. In the book of Acts, chapter 8 here, the church is running like that, smoothly overall. The disciples are making the kingdom of God known throughout not only Israel, but now they're beginning to branch outside of Israel. The book of Acts is very interesting for a lot of reasons, but one of which is the book of Acts is not about one disciple or one apostle. It's not about just the work of the church alone. But Luke, while he's writing this, constantly reminds us that the one who is consistent through the entire book of Acts is that God is acting through other people. In the lesson from Acts chapter 8, he's working through Philip to accomplish his mission. Everything that God wants done, he begins it, empowers it, and ends it. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian is not just about them. Now, yes, the angel directs Philip to go down into the area that we know as Gaza. I don't know, if I'm just sitting in my living room and an angel suddenly appeared to me, I think I'd be a little shocked. By the way, it's one of the rare times an angel appears to somebody in the Bible. It doesn't begin with the words, fear not. I don't know what to make of that. I'll let other people figure out that one. Philip is a key character or a key person in the early church history. He'd been one of Jesus' disciples, and he's key at this point in the story. Ironically, we know more about Philip from the book of Acts than you get to know about Philip in the Gospels. The last time we hear of Philip is in Acts chapter 21, where he's still up in the northern area of Caesarea, and you got to pity the guy, he had four daughters. You know how expensive those weddings would be? Okay. Maybe y'all don't. Now, we might like more of Philip's story. We might like more to know more about the Ethiopian. The Bible never tells us everything we want to know about everything. All we know about the Ethiopian is that he's the finance minister to Queen Candace. Going back to Acts overall, the main character isn't Peter. It's not Paul. It's not Philip. It's God leading and directing. Throughout the book of Acts, it's God acting through people in his church. See, the focus has to be on God, because when it gets to be the focus on us, that's when we get in trouble. In the book of Acts, you actually see how that easily could have happened when Paul and Barnabas are in the city of Lystra, and they perform some great miracles, and suddenly the people of Lystra think, oh, this is the two Greek gods, Zeus and Hermes. We got to worship him. Quick, bring the fatted oxen out and slaughter it. They had got the focus the wrong way. The people of Lystra were looking at Paul and Barnabas rather than looking at the one who sent them to Lystra. Paul and Barnabas explained, it's not about us. We've been redeemed by Christ, but throughout the book of Acts, everybody's always pointing to God. In today's world, we don't necessarily look at somebody as the Greek gods from Mount Olympus coming to live amongst us, but we look to other things for answers. Whether we lean on books or people, good friends, we lean on them for all of our answers. By the way, see, that's not an uncommon thing, leaning on people instead of God. What happens in this city of Corinth? They got all focused on leaning on, quote, leaning on people, depending on other people, or identifying themselves by other people, that some of them in Corinth said, I am most important because I was baptized by Paul. And then some of the other ones says, no, I am more important because I was baptized by Apollos. And they're going back and forth. They're looking to the wrong place for the answers. Reminded again and again throughout Scripture that we need to stay focused on God. And throughout Acts, Luke continually points to the work of God through the work of God that he accomplishes through other people. And yes, much of the book of Acts is about Paul and Paul's missionary journeys, but it's always God working through Paul. Just overall looking at the book of Acts, there's some things I think we can learn from Philip here in the gospel lesson and then Acts overall. People in the book of Acts chose to be led by the Holy Spirit. They were, in other words, they were open to the Holy Spirit leading. They listened to what God had to say. They also stayed in the Word of God and prayed constantly for God's will. They were also obedient. When they heard that voice of God, understood this is where God was leading them, then they obeyed that. In our gospel lesson, the angel of the Lord appears to Philip and says, you're going on a trip. That's about 60 miles. Now go. Didn't tell him, when you get there, this is what you're going to see. This is what you're supposed to do. 60 miles on foot in that area of the world does not sound like a whole lot of fun to me. I got a hard enough time in the heat walking from the church door to my car. And I'm already melting. Let alone 60 miles out on the road. And while he's on that road in Gaza, he meets the Ethiopian. And it's not coincidence. The two of them meeting at that point, when the Ethiopian's going by and when Philip arrives, a lot of people say that's just coincidence. No, it's not. God uses these things for his purpose. God calls us constantly to be flexible in his plans. He doesn't give us all the details of our life. The scripture gives us guidelines to life, but it's not a strict rule book. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. We got to listen to that guidance. So Paul meets this Ethiopian out on the road. Kind of interesting on this, the whole thing on the Ethiopian. I'll get into that in a minute. But when the Holy Spirit leads, amazing things can happen. Previously, Philip had been sent to the Samaritans. All right? And we know the Jewish attitude towards the Samaritans. The Samaritans were partly Jewish and partly everything else. I don't know if you can imagine a purebred dog. I don't even know dogs. What am I talking about? Give me a purebred dog. Like a fancy, expensive one. No. A French poodle. Yes. Oh, I can imagine them being little snobs. French poodles are snobs. Imagine what a French poodle would do if it walked past a mutt. It would just stick its nose in the air like, ew. Get out of here. That's sort of the Jewish attitude towards Samaritans. And by the way, the Samaritans hate the Jews just as much. So Philip, a Jew, has to go and preach among the Samaritans. Kind of the message there is, guess what? In God's church, it doesn't matter what somebody's race is, their ethnicity, or even what their past is. God wants all people to be saved. He died for all, not just of one particular group or just died for the good people. He even died for the outcasts of society, like this eunuch. The reason you made a man into a eunuch was then he would be totally focused on the job that you gave him to do, to be the finance minister, and wouldn't be thinking about going home to his wife and kids. Hey, just as a sidebar, do you know 90% of those that they did that to died of it? I learned this past week. Now, don't ask why I'm listening to this kind of stuff, but the reason we don't have a lot of blacks in Arab countries, you know, Arabs imported far more slaves than North America did. But the reason you don't have blacks in Arab countries is because invariably they turned them into eunuchs and over 90% of them died. Phew. Anyways, dicey subject. We'll move on. So even to the Jew, though, that eunuch was an outsider. According to the Levitical law, he wasn't even allowed in the temple. All right? But in God's kingdom, everyone is accepted. No matter how we come to God, God accepts us. Because there's healing for everyone within the church. Jesus tells us in John 17 that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Again, God does amazing things while he's working through people. Even take a look at Peter. Weeks before, Peter had denied Christ three times and had fled. In the book of Acts, very early on in Acts 2, Peter's out there boldly proclaiming Christ. Or look at Paul himself. Paul says he was very zealous in his work in hunting down and killing as many Christians as he possibly could. God healed Paul and made him one of the greatest missionaries of all times. Or how about the young man that then Paul would train named Timothy, whose mother was Hebrew and his father was a Greek. We know from the epistles that Timothy was very timid and shy, but yet then Timothy becomes the bishop in charge of many churches in that area. See, God does extraordinary things with very ordinary people. By the way, that's another great common theme, the way God acts in the Bible. He never takes the best and the brightest to do his jobs. Okay? He doesn't take the, you know, the top half percent of Harvard University to do all the work of his church. So why would that give us comfort that God doesn't take that most brilliant, effective group possible to do his work? Why would that give us comfort? Yeah! Because guess what? Do you think I graduated in the top 1% of my college class? I graduated. Now, granted, so you don't worry, when I got to seminary, then I buckled down, studied hard, and that was entirely because of my wife. But I was not that upper percent. But guess what? None of us are. See, none of us are that elite group that everybody would say, oh, upon this person I could build the church. That should just cringe. Because the church is built on Christ using us, the ordinary people, to accomplish his purposes. God still works today, leading people to faith, strengthening them in their faith. And God brings us together like this to do his will. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.